We are in the Gospel of John this morning, chapter 10, and we are going to consider the works of Jesus. Who was Jesus? Somebody may want to be theologically correct and say, who is Jesus? Because we know that Jesus isn't dead, and that is true, but there is a historical Jesus that walked upon our planet. So who was Jesus as well? This question we must answer correctly to enter into heaven's joy prepared for those who truly love Him. But as you think upon that question, it might lead to others. How can I really know who Jesus was or is? And some people are going to just automatically respond, read the Bible. I'm there. I preach from it. But how do I know that what I'm reading is really real? How can I know the Bible is true? We're not the first ones that sometimes have questions, and this is not to legitimize us walking around in doubt. This is not to legitimize staying in the realm of doubt. But when you see John the Baptist having his own doubts, if John the Baptist can run into a stump every now and then that causes him to stumble, maybe we can too. But I want you to pay close attention as it relates to our passage we're going to look at in just a moment. Matthew chapter 11, the disciples of John have come to Jesus to find out who Jesus is. And if we pick up with the story, I'll only have verses 4 and 5 here. I'm going to start back in verse 2. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, are you he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. What did they hear and see? Look at verse 5 very carefully. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. All of those things are the works of Jesus. These are things that Jesus literally and actually did while he is upon our planet in human flesh. Sometimes we do doubt. Sometimes we run into situations that cause us to question or wonder. John's in prison. We know the story. He probably may assume it, but we know it's going to go from here. He's not very far from having his head removed from his body. And if you're about to die, don't you want to make sure you got things right? Oh, absolutely. John's the forerunner, and he knows that. And so he asked that question, are you the Messiah? And the answer was not, yes, I'm the Messiah. Jesus' answer is, go tell John what you see and hear. Go be a witness to the things that I have been doing. And that is echoed in our passage this morning as we are in John chapter 10. I'll begin reading with verse 22, and we will consider the works of Jesus. In John chapter 10, beginning with verse 22, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long do you make us to doubt? If you be Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed me not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works I have showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone you not, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, you blaspheme? Because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spoke of this man were true, and many believed on him there. Consider the works of Jesus. At what other point in time, at what other point in history, has there been an individual who did the works, who taught the teachings that Christ taught for 3 years? We see a few prophets doing a few miracles in the Old Testament. We see Moses bring water from the rock in front of the people's eyes through the power of God. We see Moses pray to God, he sends manna. We see Moses pray to God, he sends them meat. But Jesus, for 3 years, almost daily, does miracles, works, and wonders in the people's eyes. And sometimes we pass right over that when we're trying to convince people of who Jesus is, that he's the Son of God, and we forget that even Jesus himself said, consider my works. Do we really stop and think of all the things, look at all the things that Jesus has done? What works? You can read books. You can read your Bible and take the time to fill in a list. You can look on the internet. I've got just a short list of 42. He turned water into the wine at the wedding in Cana. He healed the official's son at Capernaum. They had a great catch of fish on the lake of Gennesaret. Jesus drives out an evil spirit in Capernaum. Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law of her fever. Jesus heals many sick and oppressed in Capernaum. Jesus heals the sick and demon-possessed. He cleanses a man with leprosy. He heals a paralytic who was let down through a roof. He heals a man at the pool of Bethesda. He heals a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath day. That's 11. And the list keeps going. In fact, some of your Bibles, when you find certain spots, you're going to find, and many came to him that were sick and had problems, and he healed them all. We don't know how many, but there was lots. And Jesus said to John's disciples, you go and tell him the things that you see and that you hear. History attests to what the Bible tells us. There has been no other man like Jesus who did the things that he has done. Great and mighty works. In keeping with this theme in John chapter 5 and verse 36, Jesus says this, and again, they were challenging him on who he was, what authority he had to do the things that he did. He said, but I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me. Jesus tells these religious leaders, look at what I'm doing. Consider all that you've seen, all that you heard. They didn't doubt the man was healed on the Sabbath. They had their knickers all in a knot because he was healed on the Sabbath. Nobody said he wasn't healed. They said, you did it on the wrong date. You shouldn't have done it then. Notice that even his enemies didn't deny what he did. In John chapter 14, in verse 11, it's a common theme. Jesus telling his disciples, remember when Philip said, show us the Father? And Jesus says, have I been so long with you and that you have not known who I am? He that has seen me has seen the Father. He continues in verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. What does Jesus tell his disciples? Look at my works I've done. Look at all the miracles. Fed the 5,000, fed the 4,000, calmed the sea on multiple occasions. Demons fled when he cast them out. Whole herd of pigs cast into the sea to get rid of the demons that were in them. All of these things that were indisputable. Consider the works of Jesus. Who else has done these things? Who else could do? You can read high and low, far and wide in any of the other false religions of our society. You don't find Joseph Smith doing miracles, but he wants you to believe his gospel. You don't find Muhammad doing these miracles, yet he wants you to believe his other gospel. But we do not need to neglect the things that Jesus has done as well. All of his works testify that he is the Son of God. Who else could he be? Focusing a little bit more closely in the passage that we're in John chapter 10, and we're not going to look in depth at the whole passage. Some of you are going to be ready to amen that. Don't do that, because I can change my mind at any moment. But we're following this specifically about the works. In verse 24, notice, they ask a question. How long are you going to make us wait? Tell us if you're the Messiah. Now, y'all know if you ask me a question, I'm just going to blurt the answer right out. I'm going to tell you, if you really don't want to know, there are certain things you need to avoid asking me, because I'll just plainly tell you. But Jesus doesn't do that. He could have easily said, yes, I am the Messiah. But he says to them in verse 25, and notice his answer. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. His works do. His works testify that he's the Son of God. I wonder, and these things bother me at times, if we could duplicate this list without looking in our Bibles, that if we just put our heads together and we sat around a table, what do we know from reading our Bible, the miracles that Jesus has done? You know, it's fascinating to watch people just go through the streets and ask them, what are the Ten Commandments? People can't even remember the Ten Commandments. You think we're going to remember all of the miracles that Jesus did? But maybe there's a part of the reason why sometimes our faith flounders and wiggles itself around inside of us, because we forget what Jesus has done. His works testify of who he is. Ponder and consider his works. That was his answer. Look at my works. They bear witness of me. Who else in our history has done the things that Jesus did? There is no other. Looking in verse 32, Jesus answered. They're going to stone him now because of a statement he made in verse 30. In verse 32, many good works I have showed you from my Father. Of which of these works do you stone me? And they answered him, for a good work we stone you not. Notice they do not deny he has done the miracles. They can't. They do not deny that he has done these wonderful, marvelous works that no man can do. They don't dispute that he is drawing crowds after himself with his authority when he teaches. They don't deny his words, and it's a powerful thing when your enemies do not deny your own works. And we see this a little bit later on in John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, I love this. This is just makes me giggle when I read it. In John chapter 11, verse 47, then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we do? For this man does many miracles. They have to say, we do nothing. They were powerless in their faith, their lack of faith in God, to do anything. All they could manage to do was put men under a greater burden, under a greater yoke. They had no authority. They had no ability to release people from their sins, to free people from those things that enslaved them. He has done many works, and they asked themselves, what do we do? What do we do? What are we doing that testifies that we know the Father? Because that's what we claim, they say. They claim to know the Father, but they really don't. His enemies did not deny that he had done great works. Now, you'll find people today that'll tell you, we don't even know if Jesus existed. So let's argue to the absurd, okay? How do you know Christopher Columbus existed? How do you know that Plato? How do you know Francis Bacon, Marie Curie? How do we know any of those people ever existed? Well, most of them are dead right now, right? So if we're going to learn about it, we either learn about it by somebody teaching us, or we learn about it by reading a book or reading something on the internet. We read something that somebody has written down, passed down, and left for those that follow. That's the only reason we know what Plato believed. Somebody wrote it down, and we can read what Plato thought and walk away with an understanding of what he had. The Bible is a record of people that saw and heard and walked with Jesus. It has no less authority than any other book than anybody else would read. In fact, it's got a greater authority because it has God for its author. But you're not supposed to just blindly accept that. Your faith is not a blind leap of faith. You are looking and reading. Who else do you know that can cause the blind to see? Who else do you know that can make the dead sit up? You know, Lazarus, come forth. Have you seen that lately? Who else do you know that can walk out on the midst of a stormy sea and say, peace, be still, and everything just comes right into order? Now, I'm one of those, and I agree with this way of thinking, that we tend to hide things that would embarrass us, correct? Oh, yeah, we do. So it's with reluctance that I've told you before, I was splitting wood out by the road because that's where the tree was and that's where the logs were, and it's easier to deal with them out there because I can't pick up a whole tree and throw it over the fence. And so I had cut it up into logs, and I was using a dolly, really smart, to bring them inside. I have moved most of this tree, and I come to the last one, and I pick it up, and I plop it down on the dolly, much like I had done the other 15 or 20 pieces, and that thing hit me square in the head. You remember driving up in the driveway? My first worry after I quit seeing, putty cat and yellow birds floating around my head, my first worry was, who saw me? I mean, because it's embarrassing. That was a foolish thing on my part to be standing where if I set it down on the lip of that dolly, it would smack me in the head. And then after I got my bearings, nobody saw me that I know of. I'm like, oh, that's not a horn, that's a knot. And it was sticking out. And I got my bearings and I thought I was okay. And then he comes driving up and pulls in the driveway. He said, what'd you do to your head? It was obvious. Now, we just typically don't go around bragging about things that we've done that embarrass us. At least I don't. The disciples were screaming like little kids in the boat. There's a ghost on the water. How many ghosts you think they had seen up to that point? They hadn't nearly seen one. And along comes Jesus, and their minds go to something supernatural like that. Why would you tell yourself that that's what you did? Because they were being honest, being led by the Holy Spirit to write what they write. This is what happened. When you read the first letter of John, 1 John chapter 1, these things which we have seen, these things which we have heard, the word that we have touched and handled with our hands, first-hand experience. Men who were afraid to identify with Christ, and then men who were willing to die for Christ. Consider his works. In our passage, these people that are about to stone Jesus, their hearts are hard and stubborn. And listen, there are some things it doesn't... I can guarantee you if Jesus himself sat down on the couch next to him, they're not going to give their lives over to him. They're not going to trust him by faith because they're hard-hearted, they're stubborn, they have their own agenda, they have their own ideas, and if it doesn't match with what Jesus wants, they don't want Jesus. But what does Jesus tell them? Consider my works. Look in verse 37. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Well, what was one of the first passages Jesus read? At least the record we have when he sat down, he read from the scroll of Isaiah. Remember what he read there in the first time he went to the synagogue? Anybody want to quote it for me? No, nobody wants to quote it. You want to do it for me, Russell? You're out of this one. I've been sent to open the eyes of the blind, to cause those who are sick to be healed, to free people from their sins. And then what did Jesus embark upon? A life of doing the very thing he told them I was here to fulfill. He was there to do his Father's work. He wasn't there for his own agenda. My agenda does not mean for me to go out and be attacked by people because I'm telling them what they don't want to hear. My agenda would be, I'm moving out to Wyoming in the middle of 40 acres where I ain't got to see, hear, look, put up with, deal with, talk to anybody else. I know some of y'all would be trying to move on there with me, but I wouldn't let you. You see, our agendas don't include what these men went through because of who Christ was, and they were willing to follow Christ because Jesus said, if they do this to me, they will do this to you, but remember to count your life as loss to gain what I have to offer you. Consider these works in verse 37. If you believe not the works of my Father, don't believe me. Well, what did Jesus do? The works of his Father. But if I do them, though you believe me not, believe the works. Listen, he healed the sick. He raised the dead. He caused those who couldn't speak to speak plainly. Consider those things. See, sometimes we think our God is weak. There's not much he can do in this situation. It's because you have stopped considering what he has done. What is there that Jesus cannot do? Don't tell me make a rock so heavy that he can't lift it. That's foolish thinking. What is there Jesus cannot do? What did he tell his disciples? With men, things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And we forget what he's done, and then we begin to fret. We begin to worry, and then we begin to doubt, and we begin to wander. Jesus says, consider my works. If you do not believe what I'm telling you, at least look at my works, because his works testify that he must be from the Father. Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus comes to give life and life more abundantly. And Jesus freed people from sins and from their debts and from slavery. That's not the power of Satan. That would be Satan fighting against Satan. But Jesus came to give people life. His works testify that he is from on high. Who else? He even knew their thoughts. He knew what they were thinking. He knew what was going on in their hearts. And yet they would reject him because he did not fit their mold in spite of the works that he has done. And I'm contending to you the only logical conclusion, the only biblical conclusion, the only spiritual conclusion, the only reasonable conclusion when you look at what Jesus has done, he must be God in the flesh, because none of us can do what he did. John the Baptist baptized, but he didn't do miracles. Who else could do what Jesus has done? I want to argue that the greatest work of Jesus is this passage. When Jesus was talking with the religious leaders, again, from the outset, they didn't like him. But he makes this statement to them in John chapter 2. The Jews came unto him saying, show us a sign. Again, the snarky part of me wants to say, how many more miracles do I got to do? How many more people got to come back from the dead? How many more fish do I got to break and feed 5,000 with? Show us a sign, seeing that you do these things. They already knew he did these things. Jesus answered and said, here's the sign. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. There's a work. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now, they're looking at the physical temple. The word goes on to tell us that he was speaking of his body. But if we keep reading in John long enough, we get to John chapter 20. Jesus has been crucified. And in John chapter 20 on verse 19, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in their midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus did what he said he was going to do. They destroyed the temple. There he is, right there in front of them. What greater work? Now, if you're talking with somebody and they still refuse to believe who Jesus is, you tell them that they have no reasonable expectation to celebrate. Most people call it Easter. I call it Resurrection Sunday. You have no reasonable reason to celebrate that. Because it is not about bunnies. It's about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I'll take you a step further. Why do you celebrate Christmas? Go to work. Work on that day. Forget about meeting with people. What's the point of meeting if it's not about the birth of Jesus Christ? You know what we find about people? We like the trappings that go along with the holidays, but we don't like the reason why we have a holiday. And we forget that holiday is shortened for holy day. We forget that. It's a holy day. Why? That's the day we celebrate what God has done. He sent us his son and he raised him up from the dead. Your calendars. What year is it? Not a trick question. It's 2023. Where did we get 2023 from? Because if you run backwards in calendars, we find out they started counting it on the day that Jesus was born. His birth became time zero. And from there forward, we count 2023 years. It's in your calendar. It's built in. All of these things in life attest and appeal to us to consider. Not only was Jesus here, but the Bible tells us what he did. Who else could he be but the Son of God? So Jesus tells them in John chapter 10 and verse 37, and say, Brother Luke, that's the original passage. Yeah, but I put it here because I want you to pay attention. If I don't do the works of my Father, don't believe me. But if I do them, believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Jesus' works stand as the greatest testimony of who he was. Some people say, well, he just didn't come out and say, I am God in the flesh. Well, yeah, he did. If you look back up in verse 30, I and the Father are one. There's a reason why the Jews wanted to kill him at that moment. Because you make yourself to be God. But I'm not asking you to blindly accept just what he said. Because even Jesus didn't say, just don't take me at my word. Look at all the things I've done. Who else do you know that has done the works he has done? What other religion? What other belief system has their teacher do what Jesus has done? You know, you go to a lot of those foreign places and they have a shrine dedicated to their dead teacher, and some of them even keep their bodies in a mummified form there. Go to Jerusalem, go to Israel and look high and low, and we really don't know which tomb Jesus came out of, and there's a reason for that confusion. We don't have a body. And the reason why we don't have a body, because he said in 3 days, I'm going to raise it up. And he was raised up on the third day. He didn't need to have a tomb of his own. It was a borrowed tomb. Somebody let him borrow his tomb. And you only borrow something if you need it for a short moment. That's why we don't know what tomb he came out of, because nobody ever found a body. The Jewish leaders, they really wanted to prove Jesus wasn't who he was, right? But they couldn't, because he came back from the dead. So then they threaten his followers. Don't you be teaching these things Jesus taught. And they say, we can't help but teach what we have seen and heard. Whether it's right in God's eyes to do what y'all are telling, y'all go figure that out. But we're going to keep preaching and we're going to keep teaching Jesus. They were willing to die for the one that they had denied months earlier. Remember Peter sitting by a fire? Little girl comes up, little servant girl. Ah, you're one of them.
I'm not one of them.
I mean, he just vehement in his denial. Then they make the accusation again. Your speech betrays you. You're a Galilean. Now, I don't know how he'd have tried to get out of that, because I can't deny being from the South anymore that he could deny being a Galilean. It's a shibboleth or a sibboleth, but they knew they had him pinned down. He denies it. And yet, on the day of Pentecost, he's willing to stand up in front of 5,000 people and testify who Jesus is, why he came, and to tell them, you got his blood on your hands. You killed Jesus. What made the difference? He saw the risen Jesus. He knew the works of Jesus, and it made all the difference. How often do you take the time not to open somebody else's book? Somebody wrote about the miracles of God. Put all of that aside. Not reading somebody's blog where you sat down with the Word of God and you sit and read what Jesus has done and you just sit there in amazement. Man, he can do some great things, can he? Maybe our faith wanes and our faith wobbles because we do not take the time to sit and consider, as Jesus told the religious leaders, look at my works. Think about them. Think of all the things that I've done. I stopped at number 11. Jesus heals a great multitude of people. He heals a centurion slave in Capernaum. He raises a widow's son from the dead in Nain. Jesus heals a blind, mute, demon-possessed man. Jesus heals an 18-year-long crippled woman. He calms a storm of the sea. I already told you about the herd of pigs. He heals the woman with the issue of blood. He raises Jairus' daughter back to life. He heals two blind men. He heals another demon-possessed man and a mute man. He feeds 5,000 plus women and children. He walks on the water. One even was sick and touched the hem of his garment. A Gentile woman's demonized daughter is healed. He heals another deaf and mute man. He heals the mute, the blind, the lame, the impaired. He feeds 4,000 people. He's transfigured on the mount. He heals a boy with an unclean spirit. By the way, when he went to pay taxes, he sent his disciple fishing. Go look in this fish's mouth. You're going to find our tax. I can't do that. Unless, I'm not going to put any money considerable paying my taxes in a fish's mouth to try to fool you because somebody else may get to the fish before I do and I'd lose my money. It was a miracle. Peter knew he had caught lots of fish. You just don't open fish's mouths and find money. He heals the man that was born blind. He cleanses 10 lepers. Remember, all of them don't even come back and give him thanks. He heals a man with dropsy on the Sabbath. He raises Lazarus from the dead. He restores sight to Bartimaeus in Jericho. Dare we forget the fig tree? His disciples were amazed. Lord, you just told that thing to die and shrivel up, and we're coming back by and look at it. It did what you said. They knew. Then on the night that he was being arrested, Malchus is gracious for knowing he met Jesus, because Peter removed his ear from his head and Jesus put it right back on. That shows you how hard and callous people are. Malchus's ear is cut off in front of everybody. Jesus puts it on and they still carry him bound to go see Annas and Caiaphas, eventually Pilate and Herod. And then after he's raised from the dead, the disciples, they can't catch any fish. What's new? And Jesus said, hey, have you caught anything? No, they don't even recognize him yet. Put your nets on the other side. They pull in a boatload of fish. Peter looks and said, that's the Lord. Not because of what he heard, but because of his works. Now, very careful. I am not telling you that the spoken word is not important. We know from Romans 10 that without faith it is impossible to please him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But don't make the mistake that you're just simply looking at words and they're going to fall into your brain. Jesus said, consider what I've done. How often did Jesus look upon people with compassion? The religious leaders had none. Jesus would reach out and touch the untouchables. Who else was willing to do that? Who else is willing to come down from heaven to leave his throne of prominence, of position, and take up my sin and die in my place? Even Jesus told us, scarcely for a good man would any of you die. Volunteer, we'll get a bus to go together right now. We'll go down to the prison and say, you know, you got 15 guys on death row. Let us all take their place. I need 15 guys right now. Jesus did. And it sounds funny, but it's not. I don't know that I would die for every one of you. Because every now and then I get that snarky, you made your bed, you sleep in it. Am I wrong? That's not very Christ-like, because that's not what Christ did for me. And Christ working in me is supposed to bring me to that spot where I would be willing to consider myself accursed, as Paul said, let me be accursed that my brethren might be saved. But when we stop and consider, who would we die for on death row so that they might know Christ? Jesus died for me. What a great and mighty God. Consider the works of Jesus. Take the time this week to just stop and think about all the things He has done. You know, great things He has taught us, great things He has done. Before long, we're already on the next verse of the song. And we're ready to sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And because that's the way music goes, we don't just get to stop and have a parenthetical thought. Oh, Calvin, time out. Great things He has done. Every now and then I would do that to you on Count Your Blessings. Haven't done it in a while, but I would tell you, count your blessings, name them one by one, and I'd say, stop, Calvin. If y'all don't name me some blessings, we ain't singing the rest of the song. Maybe we need to do that on Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great things He has taught us. Stop. What have you learned from Christ this week? Not what did you hear from a preacher? Not what did you read on a blog? Not what did you read in somebody else's book? What did you learn from God in His Word this week? How bankrupt or how blessed would we be? Great things He has taught us, great things He has done. What's the last time you were reading through and one of Jesus' miracles just really reached out and grabbed you and you were just like, wow. You know, 5,000 men plus women and kids from a little boy's lunch. Wouldn't that have been amazing to sit there and watch that happen in front of your eyes? To be the disciples like, dude, I would be wanting to pick up my basket. What's coming from the bottom? Because every time I pass it out, there's just... coming up. And when they got through, they had 12 baskets left over. Jesus didn't give sparingly. He gave abundantly. We do ourselves so much injustice, spiritually speaking, when we don't stop and consider what Jesus has done. Carry it over into Colossians. Jesus said through Paul that He is the creator of all things and that He holds all things together right now. That's pretty powerful. He is holding it. He's our gravity. He is keeping us all together. So it brings you to this point. And every one of us is going to have to arrive at this point at some time or another, because this is the one that makes the difference between whether you will spend your life eternally with Christ in heaven or whether you will spend eternity separated from Him in hell paying for a sin debt that you can never pay. In other words, everlasting punishment, eternal punishment. You don't get spend 15, 20 years there, you're all better, and you go, no. They're eternal, whichever one you go to. Why in the world would you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus? Who else has done the things He has done? Who else died upon the cross for your sins? That's why we confess Jesus. He is the one that died on the cross. Wasn't Muhammad, wasn't Confucius. It wasn't Joseph Smith. It wasn't any of those other people. Only Jesus died for our sins. That's why we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. And that's why we're going to believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, because that is His greatest work. He's no longer dead. He's alive, Corley. He's alive. And according to what He has told us, He is never going to die again. Once for all. If you will believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Who else do you know that has done the things he has done? And if you got a better option, speak up. Through his word, he gives us the only option. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And we're not asking you to blindly just accept. Look at the word. Look at what Jesus has done. And tell me you know anybody else that has done that or has died for you. There's only one answer. His name is Jesus. He loved you so much, he loved me so much, that he was willing to die on the cross for our sins. Have you ever trusted in Christ by faith what he has done for you? Sometimes we say it like this: a person accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and by accept, we accept everything about him, who he said he is, what he's done. Have you ever believed in who he is? And the belief is not just a head knowledge. It's from your whole heart that you're willing to cast everything in, so much so that if Jesus is the wrong answer, I'm toast because I'm all in with Jesus. Make sure we understand that. If Jesus isn't the way, I'm toast because I don't know of any other way. Have you ever, we say it this way, given your life to Christ? Have you ever acknowledged that the good shepherd came looking for his sheep and he called your name? But Brother Luke, if I say yes, you're going to want to baptize me. You're darn right I do. First step of obedience: confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and be baptized. What did Peter say on the day of Pentecost? Confess Jesus, be baptized. Identify with Christ. Accept him for who he is. But it's not a blind faith. Look at what he's done. We don't sing this song because it's not in our hymn book. And the first time I ever heard it, I was uncomfortable because people around me started dancing. Yeah? Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Man, they was getting after it too. I'm like, I go to a Southern Baptist church. We get in trouble for tapping our feet. But those words scream for attention. Look what he's done. He wasn't saying, look at what I'm doing. Look what he has done. He saved my body. He cleansed my mind. He saved me just in time. Oh, I'm going to praise his name. Each day he's just the same. Look what the Lord has done. And that may not be exactly right, but that's the best I can remember from that time. Look what God has done. That's the testimony of who he is. Nobody else, nary one, nobody else has done or could do what Jesus did when he came to save us from our sins. He'll save you if you'll call upon him even now. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray?